Your Bible, open it up to Revelation chapter 2, and we're going to kind of surf through some scripture this morning before we take communion together. But I want to just kind of do a, in my world, this is called a brain dump. There just gets to be all this stuff in here, and it needs to come out on someone. My wife doesn't want to hear it, so you get to hear it this morning. I've had these weird thoughts for a while, and after a while, you just start asking, God, is that you? Because it sounds kind of weird. And a lot of what you hear this morning may sound weird to you. But at least it'll be out there, okay? Revelation chapter 2, starting in verse 1. These are the words of Jesus recorded through John when he both wrote the book of Revelation. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. Listen, church, I know your deeds, your hard work, your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those that claim to be apostles but are not and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. That's all good news. May the Lord be able to say those things about us. Then he goes on in verse 4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. There's a lot about the book of Revelation that I don't understand. And so my goal this morning is not to preach end time prophecy. I'd rather talk about things I understand, like fast food. That's about the level that I live on. But see, what I can get from this passage is that these are people in the church. These are not unbelieving people. These are people like you and me. We've come to this place, hopefully because we either have a relationship with Jesus or He's drawing us into that relationship and we're somewhere on that road. These are people who knew Christ. And they did many good things. They worked hard. They persevered. They had hard times and they didn't give up when a lot of people would have. And that's a great characteristic of a believer. But if that's all we are, there's nothing infectious about that. There's nothing about that that's the fragrant aroma of Jesus to the world that's perishing. Because there are non-believers all over the world who are hard workers, who don't give up, who refuse to lose. Jesus said to these people, but you do good things, but you've forgotten your first love. Remember the heights from which you've fallen. As we prepare to celebrate Easter next week, as we celebrate the resurrection of Christ, my prayer is that we would understand that the road to the empty tomb goes through the cross, and there's no way around it. A lot of us would just as soon skip the crucifixion and go right to the resurrection. But in your life and in my life, in the life of Jesus, there was no resurrection without a tomb. Even when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, had to go through the tomb before we got to the resurrection. And so this morning, I'd like us to walk slowly by the cross. If this was a guided tour, I want us to walk right by Golgotha. And I want us to be just like you are on the interstate when there's a bad wreck and you know something has gone horribly wrong and you can't help but slow down and look. When something happens like that, anybody watch the basketball game the other night? Not the UT game, but when the tornado hit? All of a sudden, basketball wasn't that important, was it? When people started looking up and the roof of the Georgia Dome was moving. My prayer for this morning is that the Spirit and the wind of God would move this place so that we would stop and take notice of Him. Because maybe, just maybe, we're hard workers. But we've forgotten our first love. I want us to ask God to show us afresh and anew what true love looks like. Not duty, not religion, not church, but true love. No one had to convince me this morning to love my wife. Didn't have to get up today and muster up their energy. Oh, got to be married again today. We have days like that. We all do. But for the most part, you know, a lot of that's down deep. It's just reflex for me. I love her, and I always will. When it comes to Christ, just like you take your spouse for granted a lot, how much more do we take for granted the greatest love that there ever was? I want us to gaze at that today. Everything that's true and right about love, we learn from God. 1 John 4:7-10. I think this will show up on the screen, so you don't have to turn there. But listen to the words of John a little bit earlier. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. What's he saying? Love and God are kind of like peanut butter and jelly. They just kind of go together. Okay, you can't have one without the other. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is love. Not that we loved God. Get over yourself, church. You didn't love him first. Okay? Any love that you have, any picture of love that's true and right in your life came from him. It didn't start here. Nothing originates here when it comes to what's true. All truth comes from him. I want us to remember what love looks like. Because we can fall into this routine of just doing church and being good church people and being respected in the community and even doing a lot of really good stuff and meeting needs of people around us, and we do it with a spirit on the inside that's anything but lovely. Man looks at the outside, but God looks at the inside. And is there love in our hearts today? Later this morning, we'll observe communion together. And you'll have a chance to have a visual symbol, something you can hold in your hand that symbolizes the blood of Christ that was shed for you and the body of Christ that was broken for you. And we're going to take time to meditate on that. But before we do that, I want to share just a few things with you that might help you to remember your first love. If we're going to remember this morning, what are some things that might cause us to forget? It's good to know what might be working against you. When we talk about remembering our first love, we really all in some way suffer from what I would call spiritual amnesia. You see this a lot on daytime television. About you know, once every 20 years when I turn it on, someone always has amnesia. Like, everybody knows who they are but them. And there are a lot of things that might cause this spiritual amnesia in us, okay? And a lot of them are the same type things that cause it in a physical sense, an injury. A lot of you, over the course of your life, have been injured spiritually by other believers or by other churches. Maybe by this church. Maybe by a father or a mother that you trusted. Maybe by a friend that you thought was loyal. You've been injured. And injuries cause us to scar. And when we scar, We don't feel in that place anymore. You know, it's just kind of numb. My father had throat cancer for a lot of years, and when they misdiagnosed it at the end because they said, oh, it's just scar tissue from previous surgeries. And they just wrote it off and didn't look any deeper. Because in the medical field, we're used to scar tissue kind of, it's just there, and it affects us. Injuries, wounds, scars, that they can cause spiritual amnesia. It can cause you to forget how much you love Jesus. Because when you think of him, you think of the people who hurt you. Distance is another thing that can cause us to forget. The Bible says that all of us, like sheep, have wandered, turned to their own way. I used to have a basset hound. Larry Israel, Kara, bless your hearts. There's probably little dog food boogers all over your walls. where they just shake their ears and food flies everywhere. You have a rubber band, you put its ears up over. Yeah, we figured that out. This dog was a great dog, but it would put its nose to the ground and it would start sniffing and it would just go. Never could find its way back home because it didn't know it wasn't home. It's just following where the smells go. And a lot of us, spiritually speaking, we just put our nose down and we catch a scent. Oh, it's a career path. And there we go. Or it's a relationship. Might not honor God, but you know, it feels kind of good. And so before you know it, we look up and we don't know where we are. And we can't find our way back. Some of us maybe struggle with shame. We just can't handle what we've done. We can't forgive ourselves. So how can we expect God to forgive us? Even though we just sang, there's no more shame. The enemy says directly the opposite. He's always whispering. He's always accusing. And the more you hear that, the more you're prone to start to believe that and to forget who you really are in Christ. I try to do this often for you because you need to know that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not just sinners saved by grace. You have all the righteousness of Christ at work in you. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is alive in you today. You're not just the sum of your parts. But the enemy's not going to tell you that. Another thing that causes us to forget is anger, bitterness. Maybe the scars have kind of healed up, but you've never really gotten over it. And bitterness is something that causes us to just become spiritually blind. There are verses in the New Testament that say if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that a brother has something against you, you're supposed to leave your offering and go be reconciled. And yet we live our lives in a state of unreconciliation. Boy, that's a lot of syllables. It's how we live. We draw lines and we say, I know this stuff about forgiveness, but that one, that's my get out of jail free card. I'm going to keep that one with me. And it becomes a spiritual stronghold. This is probably the thing that makes me forget more than anything else. Activity. Distraction. It's just busy. And it could be good stuff or it could be bad stuff. But it's just busy, and because of that, we don't have time. I'd love to read the Bible, but I just don't have time. I would love to worry about your need today, but I don't have time. By the way, who's coming around me to meet my needs? You have these thoughts, right? Or is it just me? We get busy. We get distracted. And because of that, we don't remember anymore. We'd like to, but we just don't. And this brings me to my point. When you add all those things together, and you could make your own list, and there could be 25, 50, 100 more things on that list. But you know what happens? We never face these things in isolation, do we? It'd be okay if it was just one of these things and we could focus. But life comes at all from all directions. All these things attack us at once. And the one that I want to talk about, the one thing that I want us to try to address today, is kind of a sum total of what all these things do to us. Any guys in the room remember what happened when Rocky stepped in the ring with Clubber Lang the first time? He just got the hound beat out of him. And it didn't take long. And that's what we love about Rocky, is that he gets it beat out of him all the time, and he keeps getting up. But when he gets up, he's like this. And he just walks right back into another one. He gets disoriented. He doesn't know where he is. All he knows is he's supposed to hit something. And so he keeps swinging hard in case he hits it. Spiritually speaking, the sum total of all those things, anger, bitterness, distraction, woundedness, the sum total of all that is it makes us spiritually disoriented. It's like we're that boxer that we've been knocked on our can and we get up and we're trying. But we don't really know what we're thinking. We don't know where we are. We don't know what's right, what's wrong. Is the world right? Is the Bible true? Is it all about me? And we just start thinking things that are just crazy. And not only do we think them, we start to live them. I want to illustrate this for you this morning, okay? This is the part I might get fired for. Okay, I'm not like Scott in a lot of ways. I don't watch the Food Network unless my wife makes me. But I do like to eat. And we're going to have communion here in just a second. And I've always wondered, why just crackers and juice? It seems like there should be something more. I particularly like steak. And so this morning, with the help of George Foreman, we're gonna let that heat up for just a second and hope we don't burn the place down. Larry, if this breaks code, I'm sorry, but I think I've got it covered here. Okay. I need somebody. I need somebody to come up. Come here, Ty. Come here. You like to eat. I know it. Randy Rhode, you come here too. I need you to help me too. You just come stand right over there. Let me see. Everybody kind of ducking. Brian Lloyd, you're an elder. Come on up here. All right, just stand right there. This is my friend Randy. Randy, hold your hand up. See, this is why it's not fair. Okay? Okay, if you wonder why there's a difference, that's why. Okay? This is my friend Ty. Okay? And this is my friend Brian. He's a newly ordained elder, and he shaved before church today. Okay.
That's what 252 takes out.
That's right. Okay. Guys, let me see if I can illustrate this. On Wednesday nights, we had to start rehearsing earlier because we weren't very good, and we still aren't. And so we have to practice more. And so to get them there earlier, I told them, I'll start feeding you. So for the last several weeks, I've been bringing either pizza or tacos or something. Me and Randy can just flat throw back on some soft tacos. And so I went to Taco Bell this morning because I thought, you know, this is good. And so we're just going to go in my little magic bag here. And here you go. Let's have some Taco Bell, man. Just kind of open that up. And
I ain't going to do
go
that.
Go ahead. No, it's good stuff. Go ahead. Come on. Mm-hmm. New one. Hot. Okay. I got hot. How about fire?
Yeah, give me fire.
Okay, go ahead. Just lay into that, man. That's good stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah.
See? See, my... You're a chicken guy, aren't you?
Sort of.
Chick-fil-A?
Yeah.
It's not open on Sunday, but they made a special deal for me, okay? Look what I got here. What do you like, Polynesian sauce? Or let's see. Oh, this is what I put. Oh, mustard. How about mustard? Let's go with mustard. Yeah, just get your wolf of that. Go ahead. Just get it on in there. Tell you, I'll do the Polynesian sauce. Or would you rather have this? Here, you want to try it?
No.
There's more. You haven't finished it yet. Brian, you know what? I got a special treat for you because me and you went to Haiti together. And we eat this stuff on everything. Soy sauce, because they have rice. They sweet nectar of heaven. There's more in here. What's the point? How many of us would go to Taco Bell and just eat the sauce? How many of us would go to Chick-fil-A and get a big old thing of mayonnaise and just wear it out? There's one of those in there, but I thought I might throw up if I did it. Guys, stay with me. Stay with me on this. These things, what do you have? Man, you got to finish that, dude. You finish your food. That's why you're getting so skinny. These things were never meant to be the meal, were they? They're meant to bring flavor to the meal. But they're not meant to be the main course. But listen to me. You guys can sit down. Thank you. But you finish that, okay? Hey, don't think I'm not watching. He thought I was going to give him money like Neil McClendon, but I'm on, you know, I don't have an expense account. Our lives are filled up with things like this. Because what in our life, what is the main course? Jesus is pretty clear all through Scripture. I am the deal. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. He even went so far to say, I am the bread of life. I'm the only real food there is. Everything else in your life is meant to just bring more enjoyment to the way you enjoy Him. But you know what we do? We take things that were created to bring accent to our life and we make a life of it. We take a career path and it becomes the primary thing. It's like sucking on a thing of soy sauce. It was never meant to satisfy you because you weren't created for it. You were created for the glory of God. You were created to enjoy Him. It's like He's this big steak and we just settle for sucking on a packet of mustard at the Crystal. You can name a lot of things. Sex. He gives us this incredible thing for us to enjoy, and we as a society, we might as well be walking around with a jar of Tabasco sauce and just taking it in. It's never intended to be consumed that way. And there are things in your life like sex or like money or like hobbies, recreation, families. Moms, you're going to hate this. But God didn't create you for your kids. He created you for Him first. Above all. And in that, He gave you the privilege of raising up others that love Him just like you do. And that's the greatest gift you can give your children, is to not worship them. Your spouse, your education, pleasure. That's called hedonism. It's just the pursuit of pleasure. Cars, homes, all of them are just like the stuff that fills this bag. They're not this. Rodney Myers, how do you like your steak?
Medium well.
Medium well? I got that. See, well, before I do this, this is free for you guys, okay? Adolph's meat tenderizer, just a light dusting on each side with a little ground white pepper. Okay, give it a little something there. Okay, you do that on both sides. I've already done this on both sides already, so you just got a double dusting. Okay, but I'm going to take this, and Mr. Foreman, somebody let me know when it's been about. Oh, at about 10 o'clock that'll be ready. All these things are great, but they're only great in the context that God created them for. We had a great time with students a couple weeks ago talking about the Song of Solomon. God's intention for sex. It's a beautiful picture. It's not no, students. It's just not now. And that is the case for so many of these things. None of these things are big enough to live in. He's the only thing big enough to live in. He's the only thing. And so, as we think about turning our attention towards our first love, maybe we start remembering, if we quit making things that were never meant to be primary in our lives, the primary things that take our time, our attention, our devotion, our love. When I started this morning, I said that there can't be a resurrection without a crucifixion. There just can't be. One of the reasons so many of us chase the wrong things so much of the time is that We've never died to ourselves. We've never died to those desires. They're all we know. They're our identity. Christ wants to be your identity. In Him, you can find joy. Galatians 2:20, Paul said this, I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And when Christ lives in us, we don't chase all these things. Paul's motivation was his first love. He never let himself get too far from the knowledge that Jesus loved him first. And it messed him up. It reordered his whole life. John 12, Jesus said this, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. If you're not willing to die to yourself, the best you can hope for is to take care of yourself the best you can in your own power. But you'll never do anything bigger than you. But if you're willing to give your life on the altar and be used up for the glory of God, your life will have purpose for all eternity. Jesus said it this way, if anyone would come after me, they got to deny themselves, pick up their cross daily and follow. As we turn our hearts towards communion now, to remembering what Christ did for us, let's return to our first love. Let's ask the Lord to show us what are the things in our lives that need to be crucified. What are the dreams in me that are not of Him? They're just me. That need to die so that He can raise up these bigger dreams in you. Dreams that are big enough to live in. One of the big problems with the American dream is you can do it and it's not going to make you happy. There's something bigger you were created for. It's not about all the stuff that we're supposed to do. It's about the love that compels us to do everything that we do. Have you forgotten that? Because it's easy to forget when you're busy, when you're distracted, when you're angry, when you're hurt. That's starting to smell good up here. Jesus has come to the feast. It's called life and life abundant. Don't go around sucking on ketchup packets and wondering why you're just not satisfied. See how we're doing here, Rodney. Oh. See, this isn't my preferred method of cooking. I'm a charcoal guy. We got about another minute on that, and you'll be ready to go. I don't have any steak sauce in the bag, though. Soy sauce, I have. I want to give you guys some instruction here. In just a minute, we're going to observe communion. And as we do, I'm going to ask one person from every family, or you can bring your whole family, however you'd like to. We have too many rules in the church. You come and you get both elements. Get the cup and the bread. And return to your seat. And when you do that, just sit and pray. God, what are the things that I need to see in my life where I've made primary things out of things that really shouldn't be that important? And by removing those things, maybe, just maybe, we'll remember the heights from which we've fallen.